Let's pray before the Lord together. Father, we thank you that you always want to speak to us. Open our ears so that we can hear you, Lord. We commit this time before you. Cleanse our heart. Cleanse our ear so that we can hear. In Jesus' name, amen. It's always in my heart to share about the Old Testament with the young people, because young people always find it difficult to understand the Old Testament. And why they are so, the books arranged like that? So in the past few times, I talk about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, book by book. Right now I'm unto 1 Samuel. I always feel that the history of the Israelites is like a picture, like the picture of the spiritual journey of a Christian. So when we look back in Genesis, we can see how God chose men among all creatures, and chose Abraham, and chose Isaac, and chose Jacob, and then chose his work focused on men. So we can see how God has chosen people. And then we, in the book of Exodus, we can see how he redeemed his people. In Leviticus, how he sanctified his people from all the nations. And in the book of Numbers, how he asked these people to walk with him. And in the book of Deuteronomy, God brought these people into the promised land to possess the land. In order to possess the land, they must become mature in order to possess the land. If we obey God, then we experience he is leading us to conquer the land, as in the book of Joshua. But if we are disobeying God, worshipping idols, then we will have, God will judge us and raise up enemies, as in the time of Judges. God raised up enemies, but yet when they repent, God will use judges as their deliverer for the people. So think about this. This is very much like a Christian life, isn't it? So why I put this together, so that we can appreciate, brothers and sisters, we can appreciate when we look at this history, we can find how it relates to us. When we know that we are chosen by God, God redeemed us through the sacrifice on the cross. He sanctified us day by day with his words. He led us day by day to walk with him, like in the book of Numbers. He wants to bring us into maturity to possess the richness in Christ, like the book in Deuteronomy. If we follow him, if we obey him, we experience victory in Christ. But if we disobey, we experience failures. We experience a lot of difficulties in our life. And yet, God has not forsaken us. Now, when we come to the book of 1 Samuel, the stories go on. What happens if we return to God? Let's look at the background. From this book is about, Samuel is about the coming of this, a new era, the coming of the king. Before that is the time of Judges. Now, this picture I have shown to you a few weeks ago. So look at the unit 5 there. We have come to the time of Samuel. Look at how close it is to Samson, isn't it? So in the past few times, I talk about in 1 Samuel, instead of following the whole book, I talk about the person. A few persons. First, I talk about Hannah, and then I talk about Eli. Today, I'm going to talk about the person, Samuel. All these people, they are getting ready to bring up the king. I find it interesting when we think of how John become the forerunner, John the Baptist become the forerunner of Jesus. Elizabeth cannot give birth. Later on, the angel appeared to Zechariah, and then gave the angel appeared to Zechariah and proclaimed that they will have a son, John. This John will become the forerunner, and this forerunner will bring out the king, the new king, Jesus. But very similar in this time, just like Hannah cannot have a son. So God, with the hands of God, they brought out Samuel. Samuel was given to Hannah, a Nazarite, just like John, isn't it? And Samuel, his ministry is to get ready for the King David. So these two pair is very interesting. Elizabeth, John, and Jesus. Hannah, Samuel, and David. It's just like very similar, isn't it? So all Samuel, the work of Samuel, just like John the Baptist, turning people's hearts to get ready for the king. So and in the Old Testament, Samuel is getting ready, the people at that time, to get ready for the king to appear, David. Just like John, getting people's heart ready for Jesus to come. I would say the work of the Holy Spirit today is also getting ready for us, for the coming king. All this spiritual lesson is related to us today, to get us ready to prepare for the second coming of our King, of our Lord Jesus. So all this spiritual lesson is related to us. So what can we learn from the person Samuel? Okay, so let's have a look at the calling of Samuel in chapter 3. Now, before we go there, have a look. The first 2 weeks ago, I shared about Hannah. Through the affliction, Hannah prayed before the Lord, and God purified her heart. In her heart, he only wanted not just a son, but she knows that God needs a Nazarite to serve him. Because a Nazarite, remember the time is so close to Samson. Maybe in her heart, Hannah saw, wow, we have a Nazarite, people separated for the Lord. What a big difference it will be. So Hannah prayed to God, Lord, you need a Nazarite. If I have a son, that I will offer that son for you. So she dedicates the son for God to use. So all this spiritual lesson is related to us. Today when we are in affliction, the Lord purify us as well, so that we will dedicate our life for him, to prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus. So this spiritual lesson is related to you today. And the Eli, not a very positive example to us, but we can learn that. He seems to be a very religious person. He was a judge at that time. Outwardly, he's doing all this religious work in the temple, supposed to be helping people to worship God. But in his heart, in his life, there's another story. He honored his son more than he honors God. He despised God instead of honoring God. So we can learn from this as well. We may come to church every Sunday. Is it just a religion to you? Outwardly, we look religious. But deep in our heart, every day in our walk, are we honoring God? Or are we despise God? So we have to think about all these spiritual lessons related to us today. Now, what can we learn from Samuel? We are going to think about Samuel. In the beginning, I was thinking about to talk of many chapters, but in the end, I find out I can't talk too much about Samuel. There's so much. So I go back to only one chapter today, chapter 3. So let's have a look about Samuel. Let's read all together. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Some people say Samuel at that time in chapter 3, he was about 12 years old, according to some Bible teacher. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. So even though Eli was ministering to the Lord, but the Lord did not speak to Eli. Now, let us focus on the verse 1. I think it's really important. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Was Eli a good influence? Would he be a good teacher? Just now I said about Eli was just a religious man. But he was not a good example, teaching people to honor God. So if I were Hannah, I wouldn't like my son to be influenced by Eli. If I'm Samuel, I would complain. How can I learn to serve God before him? If I want to serve God, I want to learn before Moses. If I want to serve God, I need a good mentor. Look at Joshua. What a great blessing he has. He can learn from Moses, a good teacher. But look at me, Eli. And I have to serve the Lord before him? I would say, no way, Lord, it's too hard. I would complain. We so often will say, how can I be spiritual because of you? I can't be spiritual because of I don't have a good mentor. If brother so-and-so is here today, oh, he would help me. Then I would be a different person. But look around. No good teacher around me. It's only the bad examples. So I can't serve the Lord. But true. But oh, thanks for your contribution. That's right. We can learn from bad examples as well. So that's actually what I'm going to say. Thanks for your insight. Okay. But what I want to point out is so often people have excuses. I'm not spiritual because there are nobody to help me. I can't do this because of that. But look at this. Samuel ministered to the Lord. You can still minister to the Lord under no matter what circumstances. If you are faithful to God, even in the most difficult situation, you can still minister to the Lord. Don't think about, oh, what a great revival in the 19th century. What a great revival in England. How about in Australia? How about today? Look around. The churches are dead. We are so easy to complain around. But look here. Samuel, a 12-year-old boy, can still minister to the Lord. So brothers and sisters, no more excuses. We can still minister to the Lord. Don't blame people around you. We can learn from good example. We can learn from bad examples. Thank you, my friend. So that's what we can learn. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. But don't stop at there. When we go further down. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was lying down in his place. And when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see. So outwardly, he was lying down. Outwardly, his eyes grow dim. He could not see. But inwardly, his spiritual eyes were darkened because of his sin, because of his attitude towards the Lord. before the Lamb of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the Ark of God was. So next to the Ark of God, there was a Lamb of God. But it was about to, the Lamb of God went out, about to went out. That's the situation. Not just the physical situation, but the spiritual. Outwardly, it seems that there's no more revelation. It seems to be a darkness in Israel. But hold on, yet the Lord called Samuel. That's a glimpse of light, like the dawn, like the picture I picked in the first page. There's a light shining through young Samuel. And he answered, the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Continued. And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. I'm always amazed, you know, how difficult to call people up when they are sleeping, especially young people. It's difficult to wake them up. But he can be so attentive. "Here I am." Look at the response. "Here I am." And he ran to Eli. It's so difficult to get up at night, cold, especially like today. It's so, this boy responds. You see how he's not a lazy boy. He was very responsive. Let's go on. Next. "And the Lord called him Samuel again." And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." He was so sure God called him. Then Eli perceived, now Eli perceived, that the Lord has called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now Eli really good at knowing how to respond. You know, he's got so much knowledge. If God says this, you should say this. If someone says this, you should how respond like this. He's really have the knowledge. So often, I think this is sarcastic. He has so much spiritual knowledge, and yet the Lord did not speak to him. The Lord would rather speak to a young boy. So Sam, but this time, therefore Eli said to him, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servants hear.'" Such a good answer. "For your servant hears. You are ready. Be a servant. Listen." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And what happened? Now the Lord came and stood and called as other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Now the Lord is ready to speak to Samuel. Now, before I go on to verse 11 to 20, let's think about this. What can we learn from Samuel here, just for this 10 verses? And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servants hear." What a good attitude and response to the Lord. Now, next, what are the lessons we can learn? First lesson, who to listen to. The second lesson, how to listen. The third lesson, what to do after you have listened. So I'm going to talk about these three lessons we can learn. Now we live in these days, there are so many voices around. So often you can hear the phone, ding, 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 you got new message, ding, ding. Even if you take a train or take a bus, all this advertisement all bombarding you with information. Buy this, try this, eat this, go there. All this information. The whole world is trying to get our attention. If you must like be like me, receive a lot of calls, fraud calling. "Oh, you have got a credit card payment. Is that you? Please reply." Or sometimes you receive lots of junk mails. Or in this social media, you have seen lots of people what they eat, where they go, and how's their family. So many messages. How many messages you receive each day? I think if you back at Jesus' time, not many messages you receive each day. Let's go to the next part. Actually, God, who is at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, God would like to convey messages to us as well in various ways and in various times. When Jesus looked at the birds of the air, look at the lilies in the field, oh, this all speaks to you, do you know? Speaks about the caring of God. And in the Old Testament, in Book of Amos, speak about three or four times. God used calamities, speaks to his people, and yet you do not return to me. So God tries to speak to us, not just with birds, not just with lilies, even with calamities. Oh, the disease, oh, COVID-19. God is speaking to us. God is giving us messages as well. Can we listen? Sometimes God used your spouse to speak to you. God spoke to Abraham. Listen to your wife Sarah about this. Sometimes God used friends to encourage you. God used Jonathan to encourage David when David was in hard times. Sometimes God used a stranger. If you know the Old Testament, later on, actually in this book, Abigail, a young woman coming to stop David. No, you don't have to do this. Some stranger may come to stop you to sin. God used strangers to talk to you. God used your spouse to talk to you. God used birds everywhere, calamities to speak to us. Sometimes God used, in the Old Testament, God used a servant to speak to Naaman. Go, wash yourself in the river of Jordan and be cleansed. So God used many people around you to speak to us every day. Maybe a stranger. Maybe someone you know. Maybe someone you despise. Maybe your enemies. But at the same time, Satan speaks to us. Remember how Satan talked to Eve? Try to give her some information. Okay? Remember Rehoboam, the son of Solomon? He asked counsel. But he, instead of listening to the elders, he listened to the young men. So their counsels. Some are from God, but some are not from God. Remember there's a so-called friend, Jonadab. He taught his friend Amnon how to commit an evil plan against his sister. So there are evil friends around us giving us suggestion, so-called advice. So brothers and sisters, we are bombarded with all this information, advices. Information overflows. This generation. How can we distinguish God's voice? Actually, I should show this as well. In Psalm 19, the verse, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. So God wants to get our attention. Look at the beautiful sky I've created. God wants our attention. But at the same time, Satan wants our attention as well. He used all this distraction around us. Give us all the other idea. When God said this, he gives you another alternatives. Don't eat that fruit from the tree of knowledge. How about he gave us some other alternative? Maybe you won't die. God said you will die. Maybe you won't die. That's another information. So how can we distinguish? When you hear some advices, when you hear some words, how can we know? Is it from God today? Next, please. In John chapter 7, verse 17. if anyone wills to do his will. I think this is about your heart. How to distinguish. Sometimes it's not so much on your head. All this, think about all this false doctrine, all these false prophets, all this looks so similar. Sometimes it's hard to distinguish. But in the end, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wills to do his will, if you are willing to do God's will, it's about your heart. He shall know concerning the doctrine. You shall know. Sooner or later, you will know if you are genuine to serve him. Whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Because people challenging, maybe challenging Jesus, you speak by yourself. It's not from God. Then Jesus told them, anyone wills to do God's will, he will know. If I speak this. So this is the most significant point. We want to listen. So many information, but we want to listen to God. But if your heart is willing to do his will, it's easier, I can only say. You will know. It's about your heart. And next, in Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God which you heard from us, you welcome it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God. So the people in Thessalonica, they know. They know because they want to know God, then they can distinguish. They welcome it. They welcome the gospel they received. The word of God which you heard from us, they know that it's not from the word of man, but it's from the word of God. So you will know, is it from the man or word from God? It matters most is what happens in your heart. Let's go to the second point. How to listen. How to listen. Let's remember just now it says, your servant hears. It's when you listen to something, who are you? Who are you? When you listen to a message, what's your status? Are you a servant? This is your status. When we listen, sometimes we are just, because so many things we can listen today, we have become just like an audience. We are listening for entertainment. Oh, is it pleasing in my ear? So in Ezekiel chapter 33, it says, indeed, when Ezekiel talked to the people, indeed you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear you, hear your words, but they do not do them. So God was talking to Ezekiel. Yes, Ezekiel, you preach to them, but you are to them, to the people, to this disobedient people, they like to hear you. A very lovely song. A very good message, brother. Lovely song. Pleasant voice. You have a pleasant voice. You just like play well on an instrument. They listen to you for entertainment. Sometimes being Christian for a long time, when we come to message, oh, that's a very good preacher. I like to listen to him. We like good messages. Just like entertaining. But in here, they do not do them. So audience, they listen, enjoy, have a good time, but they don't want to do it. Too challenging, too difficult. Oh, maybe this message was speaking to him. Ah, brother, listen, talking about you, not me. This message nothing to relate to me, not to me. But actually, in Revelation, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear. Do you have an ear? So many times, messages. Not to me. This message was not about me. So sure? Maybe it's about you. Because we are not hearing God's word. We don't think what he's speaking is related to me. So when we hear, not just being an audience, or listening for entertainment, just like, or not a bystander, not to me, not about me, nothing to do with me, that's not the attitude of servant. If your master is here, get me a cup of water. You look around, hey, not to me. You just listen. I don't like this voice. I don't like your way of talking to me. No. Do them. It's not how lovely I say it. When the Lord say it, do them. Saying to you. When you hear it, it's to you. And the next thing, sometimes people listen for something new. In Acts, it talks about people, for all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spend their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Athenians, very educated, civilized, they like new things. Old story, not interested. Actually, that's not entertaining. Nothing new to me. So this is not the how to listen. So that's why I say it's important. The lessons from Samuel is think about who you are first. Are you a servant coming before the Lord, your master? Otherwise, all the messages coming out, not to me, not for me, not doesn't sound good to my ears. Oh, it's something new. Can you say something new? I don't like this. Say something new to me. So this is how to listen. Very simple. Be a servant. Willing to God to do God's will. It's that simple. Okay? Let me say again. What can we learn from Samuel? Be a servant. Speak, O Lord. Your servant hears. Be a servant. To do God's will. Isn't that simple? Very simple. Now let's have a look at the next verses before we come to the final question. What to do afterwards? So let's continue to look at from verse 11 to verse 20. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons make themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Now this is a very hard message for this young boy. If he has to tell his master, he need to tell Eli what Eli is going to ask him. What did the Lord say to you? Imagine how you are going at, if you are Samuel, how you are going to tell it to Eli. So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Now you listened. You got the message correctly, accurately, fully, the whole full message. After you listened, let's go on. He was afraid to tell Eli. But what happened next? Then Eli called Samuel, said, Samuel, my son, here I am. And he said, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he has to you. Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Now notice he didn't say repent, tore his clothes, cry before the Lord, repent. No, he didn't say anything. So Eli listened, not much response. You see, this is his problem. When he heard judgment, no repentance, no tears. This is his problem. Can't serve the Lord. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. So actually from verse 18 to 19, there's a long time there. So the following chapters, 4, 5, 6, the ark was taken away. Actually, it happens between verse 18 and 19. And so after quite a long time, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord, because the Lord spoke to him, and once Samuel gave his words, none of his words fall to the ground. It stands. So, if you are faithful to the Lord, God gave you his message. If you faithfully delivered the message, your word stands, because God's word stands forever. Now, let's go back to the third question I ask. Next. What to do after you listen? In Psalm 119:60, I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. I like that, I made haste. He quickly do it. Sometimes when we hear God's words, okay, later, when I'm convenient, maybe after I finish my college, I'll do your will. Maybe when I'm free, we like to procrastinate when we hear God's, our master's word come to you. No, do it, and do it now when the Lord speaks to you. Faithfully delivered the message. Have a look at Ezekiel chapter 2. It says, as for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. Sometime, no matter what the outcome, no matter people accept your message, they like it or not, be a prophet. Be a servant to deliver the message faithfully. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words or dismayed, feared by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Now, when we receive the message, we may be afraid to deliver it. Samuel afraid to tell Eli about what's the message about. But the Lord warns his servant, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of their words. Sometimes we find it hard to testify our Lord. We are afraid of people's response. Our friends may laugh at us, make fun of us. But it says here, you may be among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words or be afraid by their looks. Some people have their looks. We may be afraid to tell people, to testify to people, to give the message. We are afraid. To be afraid is natural in a way. But do not be afraid. Take courage. Be faithful when we want to serve God. So, you want God to speak to you? How are you? What's your response when God speaks to you? When you listen and you don't do it? When you listen and you're afraid to stand firm on God's words? You're afraid of the look of others? You're afraid of the words of others? You want to please everybody? We can't be the servant of God. How can we serve God? How can the king be coming if we are such servants before him. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked man from his wicked ways to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Such responsibility, if you hear the message and you do not give out the warning, if you are not faithfully to deliver the message, if a servant holds the message to himself, the blood is in your hand. Such responsibility. So may the Lord help us to be faithful, to deliver the message. And in Galatians, when Paul shared, for do I now persuade man or God? Do I seek to please man? For if I still pleased man, I would not be a bond servant, a servant of Christ. If you want your master, actually the master wants to speak to us every day, in every way. But we have information overflowed because we read so many information. Our minds are fatigued. So we have no mood to read Bibles. God's message cannot come to us daily, freshly, every day, because we have too much information. Oh, my friend, messages, so many multimedia information bombarded. So we are fatigued. We have no desire for God's message to come to you. How, even no message come from our master, how can we do it? When the message come, and if we are afraid, we want to please men, we can't do it. So if we want to be a faithful servant, we need to be clear in our hearts. We want to serve him. We want to hear the message. We want to hear God's message to us. So the conclusion is very simple. What we can learn from Samuel. First, we must want to do God's will. Not my will, Lord. Your will be done on earth. In me. I'm not a bystander. I am your servant. Here I am. Here I am to do your will. Be a faithful servant. Serving God. Be faithful. Do not be afraid of men. So this is the simple message we can learn from Samuel. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you called us because of your great love to know you and to serve you. We pray that we can hear your words. Speak to us, Lord, for your servant hears. We ask for your forgiveness, for so often we pay attention to the messages from this world, but not to you. We ask for your forgiveness, and we pray that you cleanse our ear so we can hear your message to us. Help us to be faithful, to stand and to respond quickly to your words. Lord, change our life. Let our life be ready for you, for our coming King. Make our life useful for you. We commit everyone before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.